Hey everyone, Carolyn here from the editing studio. So this podcast is a little bit on the shorter side and cuts off a little abruptly at the end because the second half of our recorded footage didn't actually record properly, unfortunately. The footage was just not usable, so I had to cut it at the halfway mark. So we're a little disappointed that we couldn't give you the entire conversation today, but we hope you enjoy what we were able to capture. So thank you so much for your patience with this one coming out. The technical difficulties have been frustrating, but we persist and we keep going. Yeah, enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Fit Literate. Yeah, we're happy to be here. We had a few little hiccups the last time we tried to record, so we are crossing our fingers.
We're back,
crossing our
baby.
Fingers today.
She seems sound.
Yeah,
our Wi-Fi connection
seems to be working okay. Wi-Fi is good. Recording platform seems to be cooperating, so I have a good feeling about today. But yeah, Laura, how are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling giggly now because I always remember something else I want to shit talk with you about right okay. as the recording starts. So remind Ooh. Me at the end. That's an off-pod convo, unfortunately.
Oh my gosh. Well, now I can't wait.
But I'm happy to sit down because I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I forget that people listen to the podcast. And so these mailbag episodes, it's good for my brain. Honestly, it is just to chat and then release it into the world and not yes. receive feedback is like so much better than getting constant feedback on the rest of the internet. Mm-hmm. But all that to say, I'm particularly excited for the mailbag episodes because I love when we can chat with y'all about the things that we chat about. I love yes. when it feels more like a conversation and less like youth pastor preaching. So
yeah,
I'm down.
For sure. Well, we've gotten a number of emails and messages over the past few weeks, and some of them we've decided are going to warrant more like in-depth dives. But today we've got a couple that we want to talk about. So let's start with, because we've gotten a couple of messages about weird ads that people have received. So yes. let's start with that because I've also been getting some weird ads. Oh, I've been getting Liver King ads on Twitter, which has been very funny. But then they were coming up so much that
Twitter.
I had to block him. I know it is.
No. We
it's
actually,
a vice.
Actually, I rescind that because I need you to stay on Twitter so I don't have to be on Twitter. Just like I need you to stay
sure.
on the toxic side of fitness TikTok so that I don't have to venture in there. Because whenever
For
you're
sure.
like, have
okay.
you seen this thing? And I'm like, no.
No.
I don't
good.
Even have that. Yeah. It keeps my brain happy. So thank you for your service.
So we got an email from Brianna who sent us.
Hey, Brianna.
Let's see. She said she's a new listener. Welcome. And she saw this wild Weight Watchers ad while scrolling Facebook that made her jaw drop. And she just needed us to see it. So Laura, I don't know if you have it pulled up also.
But I closed out all my tabs so that Riverside doesn't boot us out again. So you might need to do the reading. I'm
got
sorry.
It. Okay. Well, it is of it's like a basically like a fake text message conversation, it looks like, where it's supposed to be like the contact information is fad diet, and fad diet is texting you like a desperate ex or something. And so it says, hey, are you still trying to lose weight? Remember, no carbs. Did you make enough plain chicken breast to last you all week? Don't eat the cookies in the break room. And so this is Weight Watchers basically trying to say that, like, we're not like those other diets. We're not like those fad diets. Like, wouldn't it be ridiculous if all we made you eat was boiled chicken and no carbs? We're so much better than that. And it's like, oh, it's a part of this like super annoying rebrand that they tried by rebranding to WW and being about wellness, but like have reverted back to being Weight Watchers.
We're
the
not
copy
a regular
says,
diet. We're a cool diet.
Literally, which like doesn't every diet say that? But the copy of the ad itself says Weight Watchers is all about balancing goals with good times, and you can with asterisks on either side, lose weight without losing the foods you love. You in?
And like, oh my God, it's just, it's so funny how it's like the same like rhetoric, just try, I don't know. Are they trying to target just, Gen Z with that? Like, what is that ad format?
It's just really like exposing the grift on both sides, because unfortunately this is like the way they talk about intuitive eating.
I feel like it's just another example of diet companies and diet culture like appropriating the like anti-diet talking points and jokes and memes and stuff from like a few years ago, and just like using it as this very like positive seeming sheen over their same shitty diet. And I saw this all over the Oprah special about Ozempic as well.
Ooh, it was you like watched a that, lot. Right? I've not been brave enough to dive in.
I don't recommend it. It's literally just an ad for GLP-1 inhibitors, which like,
great.
If that is something that you think would be good for you in your life, you don't need to watch Oprah talk about it. You can go talk to your own doctor about it.
Talk to a real doctor, not Oz, like, not Phil, a real doctor.
Yeah, exactly. Take out that middleman. But oh my God, it was so wild watching it, because a lot of the framing did come across as very like, quote unquote, body positive, especially if like you don't really know that much about like body positivity and like the history of it as like a movement, because a lot of it was like a one point that she harped on a lot was like destigmatizing fatness in a way, like destigmatizing obesity. But the way that she was framing it is like, this is not a personal failing. Agree. This is a disease. Okay. I don't necessarily agree, but I understand why some people think it is useful to frame it that way. There's a debate there. But the reason she's like spinning it this way, or like what she doesn't make as a third point, which is that like, and it's okay to be fat, to like have a bigger body, because for her and like for the point of this special, it's like, no, like diets and diet culture and like willpower, like that never worked for me. That hasn't worked for so many people. Like diets don't work, essentially. Yeah. And so the answer, because weight loss still has to be the outcome. Like, we're not imagining a world.
And it's an ad, so they're not talking about the long-term effects or even the short-term side effects.
They, like, touch on it a little bit. They definitely give the illusion of it being a measured conversation, because they do, you know, they did bring on one woman who, like, tried it, had negative side effects, and stopped using it. They definitely did, like, mention that, like, this isn't for everyone. Like with any medication, there can be side effects. But truly, like, the point of this was, like I, Oprah Winfrey, have been so desperate to be thin for so long, and I have tried everything, and this is the only thing that has worked for me, so I'm very excited to talk about it. And a part of my personal journey with this is it helped me realize that, like, dieting didn't work for me, not because I'm lazy and have a lack of willpower, which, again, I agree with that part. But it made me realize that, no, this is not a personal failing. This is a medical condition that I must take medication for in order to resolve. But for her, the resolution didn't have to do with, like, managing diabetes symptoms. It was literally just weight loss. And like, I'm not going to knock anybody's personal decision to take a weight loss medication if it makes their life better or easier, or it is the thing that they have decided is correct for them. But like, the framing of it on the special, literally, it was just so anti-fat. There was no option. She left the watchers with no option for just body acceptance and just like, hey, like, no, dieting doesn't work for everyone. There are some people that, like, no matter how much they starve themselves, are going to continue to, quote unquote, struggle with their weight. And like, what if we lived in a world where they were just allowed to be the size that they are? And that made me really uncomfortable, because it was using all of this, like, we have to destigmatize, we have to, like, stop body shaming, we have to take the shame out of it. Like, you shouldn't feel ashamed that dieting hasn't worked for you. You just need this drug. And it's like, ooh, yeah. So slimy.
And like
so slimy.
Pathologizing fatness is that's the playbook of like healthism and people being exhibiting extremely anti-fat behavior, people like doctors or employers of being like, oh, this person's unhealthy. Like, oh, we're just concerned about your health.
Yeah.
And also ties into ableism, right? Because mm-hmm. that is past the cosmetic point. That is the fear of what if we let our society run rampant with fatness, right? Like we wouldn't be good Americans if we did that. But yeah. It's all, God, it just makes me so sad because you think about what someone like Oprah, the amount of good she could do with her platform. And also yeah. like you're just operating under the assumption that this is something that works and it just keeps working. Because yes. unfortunately, like, yes, it would make, for some people, weight loss would make their life materially better because of mm-hmm. the things we talk about, because of weight bias,
because
of
our
medical
world is
discrimination,
anti-fat. Yeah,
access to medical care, because of job discrimination, because of all kinds of things. Like, yeah, if you lose weight, you might see a material improvement in the way you are treated by the world. You might be able to get the medical care you need. You might get a better job. Like, those things have been proven time and time again. The problem is, like, I don't know, I'm on the side of the internet where I hear a lot about people who went through bariatric surgery in like the mm-hmm. early 2000s and now are not only living in a bigger body than they were because of like the rebound effect of that surgery, because diets don't work, restricting your food intake does not work, but now also are dealing with a host of health issues from that, plus trauma from that, and now yeah. have no options. Like, it's
yeah, no,
it makes me so sad.
It's so wild because it's like taking all of these talking points that I'm used to seeing in like anti-diet conversations in like pro-fat environments and weight neutrality conversations, but then applying them to weight loss. And so sort of just like taking off that final conclusion and like coming to a different conclusion about what the solution here is. It's like agreeing that the discrimination is bad and like agreeing that all of these negative things that fat people experience is bad. But then the solution is just weight loss. The solution is just make it so fat people don't exist. Like, what? In what world could that even be possible?
Sorry, I'm laughing because the thing I'm going to bring up is a conversation Carolyn and I were having before we turned on the recording, which is that we're going to do an episode on terrible men in the health and fitness space, and that yep. some people just continue to go to therapy so they can learn therapy speak to weaponize it, to like disguise what they're doing. And I feel like that's like, no one should have let the diet companies go to therapy. They're just yeah. using therapy speak. They're like,
no,
oh,
it's so true.
Bestie, is your love language eating dessert? Well, don't let us gaslight you. Actually, what you didn't know about yourself is that you're a narcissist. So no. you need to, like, they're just making shit up.
Exactly. Like, she was interviewing people on the show, like multiple people who have like taken GLP-1 inhibitors for different reasons, who are like different ages, types of people, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember at one point her asking one of the women who I guess is like become a bit of like a social media influencer, like she has a fairly big platform on TikTok, like documenting okay. her weight loss journey. And one of the questions Oprah asked her was like, have you noticed a difference in how people treat you? And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I'm so glad that Oprah asked this. This is actually such an important conversation to talk yeah. about. Like, hey, even though my life has gotten better in these ways, also like there's been like a negative side to this that I maybe didn't anticipate, that like I'm actually emotionally struggling with the fact that people treat me better now that I'm thin. Cause that's a story that I've heard from so many people. Yeah. Like that's like a narrative that I've seen before. And I'm like,
that's
wow, more people should be exposed to this narrative. So
that's
something
can think
about
I've
it.
Experienced as a person whose like weight fluctuation is like up and down one dress size and has always been in a thin body. Like that's yeah. something I've experienced. So
yes.
imagining like being a person in a plus size body or a fat body and experiencing weight loss. Like, I cannot imagine how much that fucks with your head.
Oh my God, it must be such a mind fuck. And like people go to therapy for that because it can, it's such like a jarring experience to be like, oh my gosh, like people really didn't care about me, or people really disliked me, or people really had all of these feelings about me when I was bigger, when my body was different. And like that, oh, like I can only imagine how hurtful and hard that is. And Oprah's reaction to her saying like, yeah, people do treat me differently, like people are a lot nicer to me, was basically like, wow, that's so great. And then it just moved on. So it's like positioning weight loss as the solution to anti-fat bias and discrimination. And it's like, no, that's it's not also, the point. God,
if I could have a strong talking to Oprah.
It made me so mad.
Like, you just, I'm getting dangerously close to like armchair psychologizing, but I feel like Oprah's, it's not a secret that like Oprah's body has been just as much a part of the cultural conversation.
Huge
as
public
Oprah herself.
Conversation. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's sad. Like, it makes me sad for her that based on how she talks about, like, she's probably still struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing we were talking about, what, two episodes ago, when we were like, a lot of people should do a lot more healing before they get online and start preaching to other people about what they should be doing.
Yeah.
And then the second part of that is that, not to dive in too deep, but like the almond mom conversation on TikTok, like thinking about who Oprah's audience is, which I'm guessing at this point are mostly women ages, want to say like 40 to 80, given that Oprah's been at the height of her career for 20 years and those people probably aged up. Like, when we talk about how, I won't caveat it, like how rough it is to talk to like your mom or your mom's friends or your aunts about like body stuff, and how much shit we as like millennial and Gen Z women have absorbed from the generations above us. Like, if Oprah could have a constructive dialogue of like, this is how body comments harm people, which is like the most non-nuanced, easy thing to chat out. Like, how much good she could do by just being like,
healing,
hey, don't talk about people's bodies. Hey,
I know, because
don't.
When we
were having our conversation
conversation last time about like eating disorders on the internet, obviously we're talking about a younger demographic because we were talking about the internet, and you know, like chat forums and stuff didn't exist until the 90s, but like there are elderly women out there who have been dealing with essentially an active eating disorder since like the 1960s. Like, there's it's or earlier. Like, this isn't just a problem that affects like college age or like teenage girls. And like, just because someone gets older doesn't necessarily mean that they have healed. And like, the demographic that Oprah is primarily speaking to, like, still deserve help and healing, and like, don't deserve to be just left out of the cultural conversation about like food freedom and like healing from body image issues. And like, she is so well positioned to bring those conversations to those women, and instead she's bringing drugs that they probably can't even afford. And it's like, oh, like missed opportunity. And instead we're getting something that feels just so gross. So gross.
Are you feeling done with this? Because I've got a
I was gonna say, the second part of Brianna's email, was she also wanted to know our feelings about this certain type of content that she's seen going around on Instagram that's supposed to motivate people to work out. And she says it's always set up like this. The background is a video of someone working out, lifting heavy, or running on the treadmill. And the words on the screen will say,
only 6 months until March 17th, they always pick a random date. In not 6 that months, one. You can snatch yourself and tone your waist.
No, this Those one's a little bit more.
Ladder ads are going to be the death of me.
This one's a little bit more sneaky and insidious with the potential harm. But yeah, but that same Let background practice, words on the it. Screen. And it'll say, quote, I train this way because what if I have to pick up my kids and run for miles? Would you be able to do it? She says, red flag. I don't know if it's just me, but it sets off an anxiety alarm. And I feel like, yes, it is motivating to me to want to be able to be fit to do hard things. But doomsday motivation seems like seems to set up this idea that you have to be ready to do impossible things at the drop of a hat. And that screams of the idea that we should be cardioing ourselves into the ground, because if you don't, your family will die. Feel free to correct me. But there is this slimy feeling that I get from these kind of videos. And like, oh my God, yes.
It's like doomsday prep tradwife edition.
Yes.
I don't know. Here's the thing. If I ever have a human child and we're in that kind of scenario, I'm going to count on my, like, car flipping adrenaline that I've heard about my entire life to kick in. Like, what the hell is that supposed to be about?
Yeah, I know. It's like, what do you mean? Why are you imagining those scenarios?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Why are you running for miles?
And it's like, I feel like this is coming from, it's like the intersection of
What would you be running for miles from? Are they like zombies or like?
I don't know.
There are microplastics in the water and the sun's going to explode. You are not going to need to run for miles. Just sit where you are.
Well, but I feel like it also is the intersection of like fitness and like true crime brain rot, where like people constantly think they're about to get like abducted in Target parking lots. And I'm like, oh.
Which is like a very like white lady victimhood thing.
Yes.
Which is important to perhaps unlearn a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not going to go down this rabbit hole.
You are like, you can't protect yourself from some bad things happening to you. And I hope they never do, but like that you don't need to feel cardio guilt about not being to like outrun the predator. Like that's crazy. I shouldn't say that's crazy.
Situation
that's
where,
something to scroll past.
Yeah. Like most people aren't living in a place where like bears are an imminent threat to their children. Like I just, that is not a useful type of content to consume for most of us, I think.
Technology has evolved. You no longer need to fear woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers.
Right.
And yeah, anything that I need to run miles from carrying human children, I'm just going to let it kill me. I got to be honest with you. I succumb in that scenario.
Oh my God. It's just so funny because it really does get so dramatic sometimes. All right, moving on. This one is from Kendall. And Kendall says, hi, longtime listener, first time caller. I recently got a Lumen ad on YouTube and was wondering if y'all have discussed it on the podcast before. It's a health device that truly just looks like a vape and claims to hack your metabolism. It tells you what your metabolism is at and then recommends a nutrition and workout plan for the day. It seems very odd. Thought y'all may be interested in covering it on the pod. Thanks. We are very interested in covering it on the pod, Kendall. Thank you. It does kind of look like a vape. It also kind of reminds me of if you've seen Too Hot to Handle, how they have like the talking triangle that's like a fake like smart home device. It kind of reminds me of that too because it's slightly conical shaped.
I was gonna say it looks like my bug bite zapper that I got from Jeff Bezos. It's like it like stings you and it's supposed to make your bug bites hurt less, but it just causes pain in that moment. That's what it looks like
to me. It makes them hurt more so they itch less. That's the brain hack there. So yeah, Laura, do you know anything about the Lumen?
I mean, I took a very cursory look at it. I luckily have not been served any ads. The thing is, whenever you see stuff that's like, only athletes could get this in labs, but now you can have it for $600, it's like, I don't know if we're there yet. Also, the whole premise is that it can tell when you're burning carbs versus fat versus protein, but it's not like a when thing. It's like a what are you doing, and then we're going to prescribe you something based on that.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know how it does that via the breath. Maybe that's something that is actually possible and that's just outside my scope of knowledge. But this is the whole thing of like fasted cardio, where it's like, if you eat before you, the myth is that if you eat before you do cardio, then your body's going to be burning the carbs from what you ate rather than the fat on your body. First of all, that's not how fat oxidation. Thank you. That's not how that works in the body. Second of all, your body can switch between fuel sources. So if it is, say, relying on fat as a fuel source during that cardio when you're fasted, it's going to burn the carbs as soon as you eat them. And the solution to that is not don't eat carbs. It's that you just can't control it like that. Like, it's always going to be switching back and forth and doing what it can to be efficient, to keep you alive. Your body doesn't know about the hacks. Your body doesn't know you want to lose 2 pounds. It wants you to stay alive. You can't really outsmart that. It's really, really good at that. That's the thing that makes me wary about the ads, because I don't really care about the science of the whole thing, I got to be honest. Thing that makes me wary about the ads is when it's like, this was used by NASA and Olympic athletes, and now it's available to you, you little plebeian toad. Like, anything like that is sort of, any kind of machine that you can get at home is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's those also scales like- where it, like, tells you, there are like home scales where they're like, it'll tell you how much muscle mass you have. And it's like, well, we have that. Yeah. It's called a DEXA scan. And you like need to go somewhere to get that. That's not
like, how accurate could this be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know that the technology exists to measure certain metabolic factors with the breath. That has been like a laboratory technique for a long time that's been used in nutrition and like metabolism research for a long time. So it's like, I know that that is like technology that is real. I don't know how accurately it translates to this home device, but also like, why do you need to know that? Like,
yeah, what are you going to do with it?
What is the actual goal here? And I'm like, when I was reading through the website and like reading through kind of like the ad copy that they have, it's one of those websites that's just like a continuous scroll through all the information until you get to the very bottom. They don't really have a lot of pages. And so it's just like on and on. I'm like reading the little blurbs about different stuff, trying to figure out like, what is this actually for? Like, what are they claiming it's for? And I'll give them props on one thing. They are not making any medical claims. Unlike a lot of like wellness junk that's on the market, they're not saying that this is going to diagnose, treat, or cure any kind of condition or symptom or anything. But like, since they're not making any of those claims, they're literally not making any claims at all. It's like really unclear what this is even supposed to do. It's using phrases like hack your metabolism and like, it's the gold standard of metabolism measurement. And they just say the word metabolism over and over again to the point where I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is just supposed to be like a dog whistle for weight loss. And that like, if you're already getting these ads, like you're supposed to just already understand that. And that like you are getting served this because you already connect metabolism with weight loss or fat loss or something like that. And it wasn't until I got to the like testimonials that was like confirmed, because literally all of the testimonials are like, this person lost 12 pounds. This person leaned out in their CrossFit classes. Like, this person increased their athletic capacity. Okay.
Like, it reminds me of, have you seen those, going back to like weird Pinterest graphics? Have you seen the things that are like, I think it's an app ad, and it's like, this is how far you need to run and at what pace if you carry fat in your belly or if you carry fat in your arms. Like, I feel like it's like diet based on blood type. And I feel like this is the sort of attempting to be the middleman for that brand of misinformation, where they're like, if you only burn protein, which again, pretty sure not something the human body could do, then you need to be eating this. And it's taking that gobbledygook and being like, oh, you don't know? You can use our little device.
Yeah. It's like intentionally like mystifying nutrition and metabolism even further in order to be like, like, oh, there's all of this like magical stuff going on in your body that can only be measured in a lab. But now we're bringing the lab to you. And it's like, well, for most people, like for people who do not have metabolic diseases, in order to have a healthy metabolism, you literally just need to eat food. Like that is what keeps your metabolism healthy, is regularly eating enough food and a varied diet. Now, some people do have more specialized needs, but if that's you, this isn't going to tell you that. You would need to like go to a doctor and like get your diabetes diagnosed and then follow their instructions for how to manage it. And like this doesn't seem like it would give you any information that you wouldn't get from a doctor's office or from a glucose monitor that you have been prescribed. And if you like don't have something like diabetes, why do you need to know this? Why can't you just eat?
And I also think there's this weird like sort of cultural misconception about what we label as the metabolism. Like I think people hear like, you know, oh, I've got a fast metabolism, and they think it's like, oh, I can put away a lot of food and not gain weight, or it's something about calories in, calories out. And it's not that, but metabolism is your body taking food and turning it into energy and using the delicate balance of that to power your cells and pump your blood and grow muscle and repair like injuries and bones and cuts and like do all the things it needs to do. It is a much bigger, more complex system than like I put food into my body and I gained or lost weight. Like that's not.
And you're so right. Like all of the words on the website like really make it clear that they don't understand what metabolism actually is, or they are trying to sell you a definition of metabolism that isn't accurate. Because they seem to just be equating the word metabolism, like I said, with either weight loss or like being lean, like being thin and low body fat. And there's one sentence on the website, I forget exactly where it was, but like one of the few actual claims that they made about this is that like using this device can help you like make your metabolism more efficient. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, because when I think of someone who has an efficient metabolism, they are able to like extract and use or store as much energy out of every bite of food they eat as possible. And like, so someone with a really efficient metabolism would actually be someone who gains weight very easily. So like that word efficient,
you want to help your metabolism, build muscle. You know what you need to do to build muscle? Eat food, more food than you need. Isn't that crazy? And also like you want to keep your metabolism running. Okay. Go for a 5-minute walk after you eat your dinner. Like, like anything like, other than get a $600 breathalyzer. That's the thing with all of these data collectors is like, you know, the watches and the rings, and like I have mixed feelings about all of them. I wear an Apple Watch most days. I got mixed feelings about it. But if you are collecting data, why? And that's not a bad faith why. That's not like a, you don't know what you're doing, idiot. That's a why. What are you using that data for? That's fine. You're collecting data. Cool. That's awesome. Like treat your body like a science experiment. But if you're collecting data, what are you going to do with it? Because if you don't do anything with it, it's not worth anything to you other than fixating on this one new number factor that you've introduced into your life that you now need to keep up with for no purpose.
Whatever reason.
And
then like the last thing that I noticed on the website that I was like, oh, that's a red flag to me, is the like experts that they have on the website making some sort of like positive claim about the product. I'm not familiar with all of the ones that they have up here, but in the top six that they list, number one is Dr. Mark Hyman, which many Massachusetts people will know who he is. And we have not talked about him, but a lot of pseudoscience going on there, probably. Conversation for another day. Another one is Dr. Jason Fung, who is like the intermittent fasting guy, and is like made a lot of money off of a lot of books about intermittent fasting. And
did
keto,
you see,
I think.
Sorry, quickest sidebar ever. I actually promise this time. Did you see at the American Heart Health Association conference?
Yes.
They released new data that intermittent fasting is dangerous, basically.
Not very heart healthy. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
their
all.
Finding was that it increases like
risk of a cardiac event by 91%, I think, which also,
yeah.
I read that statistic to my boyfriend and he was like, what? And got like really scared because family members do intermittent fasting. And I was like, well, increased risk by 91% means that like if it was 5%, maybe it's 6% now. It's
yes.
like,
yes.
you're, it's not a 91% chance that you're going to get something. It's
exactly.
an increased risk and your risk might be low. But still, this like corroborates some other evidence that intermittent fasting is just another method of calorie restriction and not mm-hmm. some magic silver bullet, but.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the reasons why intermittent fasting is, you know, claimed to be so healthy is because of the weight loss that many people experience from it. And we've been taught to associate weight loss with improved heart outcomes. And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well, it's not that simple. There isn't that like cause and effect relationship there where just like anything that makes you lose weight is also going to be good for your heart. Like, which, you know, that should be obvious just because like cigarettes.
You mean cocaine isn't good for my heart?
Yeah. Like,
that's crazy. Damn.
Not enough of these scientists spent their 20s at the club. And that is very clear. anyway. Yeah. And
we
then another one of their experts.
We consider ourselves the liaison between scientists and people who go to de club. That's our role.
De club. And the other guy that I recognize on here is Dave Asprey, who's the founder of Bulletproof Nutrition. So I'm pretty sure he's like the Bulletproof coffee guy. The like you need to be putting like MCT oil and butter in your coffee every day. And that still counts as fasting somehow. I'm like, ugh. So it's just a bunch of like nutrition wackos that are like claiming that this product is useful in some way. And so it sounds like it's probably not going to like acutely harm you to exhale into this USB drive, but
I'm just thinking like next week there's going to be a headline that's like Lumen metabolism breathalyzer device
like
zaps people between the eyes.
Poisoning.
Yeah. That's why you need to run several miles with your children on your back, is that all the Lumen zombies are going to come after you because they've performed their at-home lobotomies to find out if they
that's
should be eating
true.
Carbs or fat.
Maybe those Instagram reel creators were onto something.
Editing Carolyn here again with the sign off. Unfortunately, that's all we got for you this time, but we hope to bring you more content again soon with hopefully no technical difficulties. So thank you so much for listening to this one. We really appreciate it. Definitely go check out the Patreon if you want more. We've got a bunch of awesome episodes up there. And yeah, thank you so much. We love you. Talk to you the next one. Bye.